Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYH, a podcast dedicated to youth issues on TRS Radio. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nikephoros. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. Fairly tired, but I'll persevere.
It's good. It's good.
You know, I got a duty to our fans, and our fans mean everything to us.
That's right.
And we just think about you all the time, and so to disappoint you guys would be like disappointing my father. Well, not quite, but I really love you guys, kind of, even though you guys are a bunch of faggots.
Hey, it's still okay when they put out, right?
Is that the sexual thing?
Put out? No.
Oh.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, put out comments for us to respond to, like the last episode.
Oh, do you have some comments for me to read? I don't have the webpage open because I'm very prepared.
Well, yes, we did have some interesting comments. I just mostly want to point out some hot puns, because if there's anything that we do on the show is come out with the hot puns.
Yeah,
that's, and
we have more dad humor than the fatherland.
Ooh, yes. An account that just is titled MSATNAHP says the Yang Whites.
Oh, I didn't see this. I haven't checked the comments in a few days. Is this a new one?
Yes, it was posted today at around 8 p.m.
Oh, that's good.
It is good. The Yang Whites.
Aren't we done with that meme, though, or something?
Well...
Not done, but just, like...
I mean, I don't know how we're gonna, like, transition to this to the Gabbard Whites.
The Gabbard. The Gabber Whites, that's a very obscure dance music reference. You know what Gabber music is, Nike?
No.
It's a Dutch... Well, I think it's rooted in Holland. It's a Dutch subset of 90s techno, and it's really fast, and it has a distorted bass drum, and it's just basically do 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 for 4 minutes or whatever, however long a track lasts.
So it's like sort of industrial.
Yeah, it's industrial-ish inspired, and it was really popular in Holland, and they have this style. I forgot what they call the people. There's probably Gabberheads or something. It was basically a track suit with bald head, you know, shaved head, like skinhead, basically look kind of in a way. But with a tracksuit.
It's like a Gopnik.
Yeah, like a sort of Dutch Gopnik, in a way. A 90s Dutch Gopnik. A presaging of the alpha, the Russian alpha.
Nice.
Maybe the Dutch really are Slavs at heart.
Slavs. Swamp Slavs.
Yeah. Well, there is like I do think the Gopnik style kind of does go further than Eastern Europe. There is a kind of Gopnish. I mean, it just seems Gopnik to us, maybe because we're just filthy Americans. But, you know, when I was in Germany, some of the interesting fellows looked kind of Gopnik-y, you know? Like, I don't want to be classist, but you know what I mean. Like the sort of Lumpenproles, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a big fan of, like, shaming whites for their economics, but, you know, I'm just saying. The Gopnik sphere.
I'm for it. I'm gonna come out on the, unsurprisingly, on the pro Gopnik side here.
On the pro Gothic side.
Goth Gopnik.
Yeah, Gothic Gopnik. It's like a Gabber that's a good, remix of Joy Division. Love. I can't even sing because I have to like do the kick drum so fast. The 909 kick drum just blasted through a Boss distortion pedal right there.
I can do the vocals. Love tears apart again.
Yeah. It's like 180 BPM, 1488 BPM, ha ha ha. But yeah, it's...
I'm actually a little impressed with myself with that on-the-spot vibrato.
I couldn't hear because I was just making...
When you go back and listen to this, it's gonna be aesthetic. This is like Venetian snares.
Yeah, well, there was some Venetian snares where he messed with a sort of Gabber-esque style. But this is...
Oh, okay. Wow.
I remember.
Are you going to go write like a master's paper about it?
About Gabber and the intersections of...
Not your whole master's thesis, but it's going to be like one of the things you publish in the Journal of Techno Studies.
Yeah, of like performative bodies in Dutch underground Gabber raves.
Contemporary Dutch, you got to say.
What?
You have to put in the word contemporary.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that. Foucault's something embodied in Derrida's vision of a club, gay, sex, something. I don't know. Something Derrida. Something of deluge and stuff.
Yeah. Nah.
But how about this? I'm going to go talk about my little Sunday while you go listen to some Gabber. I want to hear your reaction live. But while you look for it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you, I went and had a nice hike today, and this is a recommendation to all the guys out there. If you're neat and you like to stay inside, I admit I was like that most of my life, just take the green pill and just enjoy nature. It's fun. It's good. You know, it's nice when you see some beautiful streams and beautiful trees, and it makes you feel happy to be alive. If you're black-pilled, go out into the mountains or something and just enjoy it, and... savor the creation that God has given us, and yeah, hopefully a little spiel was long enough for Nikkei to find a Gabber track. Do you have Gabber?
Yes.
It better be 90s Gabber, not that new stuff.
It's the most popular or most watched video.
Is it the Gabber dancers?
Yeah, Gabber dance.
Yeah, where they're like kicking in the air and stuff.
Ah,
and they're going nuts.
It's like a music video.
Yeah.
It was posted in 2014. Okay, now this guy's doing some air kicks, like he's doing some Russian trad dances.
Yeah, see, dude, I think the Dutch. Yeah, is it from
this one's
one
like a black guy though?
One Medium Films.
Yes.
Yeah, but you see the aesthetic I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean they got the track suit.
It's like a '90s, very lurid '90s track.
Is red tracksuit guy black?
Oh, let me see. I don't want to get any copyright issues. Let me see. Sometimes he's Dutch, man. You never know. I'll put fake Gabber in the back.
Welcome to a TYH exclusive, a Gabber track created by Rotterdam producer Anglo.
Ah, oh, he is, I think. Wait, what the heck? I've watched
this guy.
No, I just think Turkish. He's either like a Turkish or a tan Dutchman, or just like the VHS quality is so bad you can't tell.
Yeah, who knows?
Because so I'm gonna make
what the hell is a sample?
What?
There's like some yeehaw sample.
Oh, yeah.
It's like in the 2.5 minute mark. They're going like yeehaw.
I don't know.
Damn. All right. So about 2:40, this guy's just going straight retard dance. It's like he's having a angry Down syndrome episode.
Yeah, it's like it's like the dance for the autiste. It's like us when we have sensory overload and we're like in Target and there's too many lights going on, and you just have to like start kicking. You know what I'm talking about, Nikkei?
I don't want to say yes.
Yeah.
But yes.
I want to get a kvetch out of the way. I guess it's a kvetch.
All right.
Well, I was walking down in the city. I was visiting some other nice little downtown area, and this broad smelled horrendous. She was probably about 19. What I mean by that, I was just walking next to her, like, and you could smell her. It smelled like, I don't even know what it was, like sweat and just not bathing for years. She was greasy, and she had a backpack on, and she had a little pin on there. And it said her pronouns, and it's like, my pronouns are they and them. And I'm like, you know what? This is, of course, the first time I see someone with a pin that shows their pronouns, of course they're going to reek. They're going to smell, like, horrendous. Like, this was bad, Nikkei. It was worse than, like, anything I've experienced.
Well, you know that makes you right-wing, right? It's a good thing.
It brings back to mind that quote from, or that tweet from The Amazing Atheist, where he was, like, getting annoyed that people were offended by his smell, and how it was kind of like...
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was, like, bigotry or something.
Bro, what?
I don't know. The Amazing Atheist is one crazy fella.
Yeah.
Yeah, something about getting mad at people in the store, giving him weird looks for his smell.
Dude, so, like, it all kind of, like, makes sense when you realize that TJ is just, like, some autistic, I don't know, deep south burger who got, like, molested as a kid.
Did he get molested?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He says it in, like, one of his videos.
Yeah, he's just a deep south burger gone nuts.
Well, he's also autistic.
Has he been diagnosed?
I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he created the fedora archetype. He and the fedora are one and the same.
Yeah.
But it's just like, this is a very flawed human being.
I have a quote from Taroja, or TJ. This is, I guess, from one of his books. I don't know if it's a fabrication, but it's on a... It's a picture I remember seeing a long time ago, but it's like his face and has a quote from something that he wrote. Nature already has an age of consent. That age is approximately 12 to 13, otherwise known as the onset of puberty. We don't need Christian morals to set an arbitrary age on when a sexually mature human female can mate legally. We already have clear parameters on sexual maturity as established by the law of evolution, and acting within those parameters does not, under any reasonable definition, constitute rape. In quotes. Moreover, because this irrational moral imperialism is almost solely applied against males who pursue relationships with younger females, I do believe the change of age of consent laws should be a critical area of focus for men's rights activists. So, your damn Christian imperialism makes you not, you know, it's making
me a pedophile.
I can't be a pedophile because of your damn Christian imperialism.
Good. That yeah. means it's working.
It's like when you reduce everything to just like observable science or whatever. I don't know. It's so gay. But is that even right?
I think it's also, it doesn't make any sense to describe.
Well, you could do the argument, a more scientific argument would be like, well, they're not mentally mature yet. And that's a reasonable one, you know?
I wasn't even going to talk about that. I was just going to talk to more like the fundamental thing there that... The idea that these things are laws.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole concept of law is decidedly non-natural.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a thing
imposing
of,
a that's framework. Called
natural law. But I think it's more a limitation to, you know, of our vocabulary than it is a direct correlate. Yeah, what yeah. a law is something that is prescribed.
Yeah, it's a framework that you impose on.
There just has to be something to put it down. Proscribed is not the wrong word, or is the wrong word, but I think you get what I mean. That a law is there because somebody put it there, an authority that can vocalize or write something down and enforce it as such. You know, nature having a law, I don't think there's any way you could frame that as we would know laws without some sort of divine creator. because for laws to be there as a law, if it is a law per se, then I think it lends itself to some entity that has ordained such law. Otherwise, I think, you know, what we mean by like the laws of physics or the laws of nature, maybe there's a better word to describe these phenomena than laws, because I think it's just more like limitations that
a lot of have yet
to be pushed beyond.
A lot of confusion regarding knowledge and stuff does come out of a misuse of words, and not even a misuse of words, but just the limitations of I guess the human language.
Right, because you can't. I don't.
Isn't that basically blame Wittgenstein? I'm not like, well versed in Wittgenstein, but isn't that like where philosophy is basically the problems of philosophy arise out of a misunderstanding of the logic of one's language.
Yeah,
that's his thesis. Not that I necessarily agree, but it's interesting to think about.
It is. And so, you know, I don't blame anybody or look down on anybody for like describing things as a law of physics, you know, because we can understand, we can still get across meaning.
Mm-hmm.
When we describe it as a law, you know, it sort of is incomplete because laws implicitly can be broken.
Mm-hmm.
But if we call something like a law of nature or a law of physics, then implicitly it is never broken.
Mm-hmm.
So these two things are referring to types of laws that don't share the same core characteristics and virtue.
I think we're going a little too deep into this because of a quote from TJ. It's fun.
You're right. We are. It just sort of occurred to me right then and there as you said it, like, this isn't some law. There's nothing that ordained this to be so. It's more coincidence. And like,
yeah,
our whole measure of time in terms of years is also equally arbitrary. There, you know, you haven't hit puberty until you do,
yeah,
which could be 12 or 13 years, or it could be, you know, X number of days.
Yeah, but I also just dislike the idea of reducing it merely to like, oh, nature says, or that may like the sort of gross like animal element of man says it's okay, but that's not what we should run on. Sorry, people who like the sort of, what is that, the red beard, was that Ragnar Redbeard or something? That sort of might is right type ideas. But man runs a lot on, I think, you know, morals and reason, and so I think to reduce it to just, oh, me body says it's okay, nature says it's okay for me to like this girl. You know, it's like, no. Like, even if you might think that or feel that, just think about the moral repercussion of that action. Instead of just like, nature says it's okay.
Yeah, this is also coming from like the
banana man.
Banana man, you know, sexual abuse victim.
Yeah,
so, like,
member of the Stool Society.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's a revelation we don't want to talk about. Something we noticed about Germans, but you guys might be able to figure that out.
No.
We don't want to talk about
that. Right, so we're really going to, you know, just throw away our traditional moral precepts, yeah, because just, the rape victim told us to.
Yeah.
Right, because you have some, like, fundamental greater wisdom on the matter, because you've been sexually victimized, and now you're suggesting like such a thing is actually okay when you really think about it.
Justifying like a sort of endless cycle of molestation that you're a part of.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny sad, but I'm not saying I'm not. It's
it
not,
is sad, but it's just like
disgusting.
Ah, I see how we got here.
Yeah,
we got here from people like you who took their abuse and then tried to, like, justify it to then repeat the process.
Yeah, I mean,
yourself. And then, you know,
there were definitely,
so it goes.
From what I remember, this was a long time ago, and I can't believe that I have to go back to this part of my brain. But TJ, or the Amazing Atheist, some Zoomers might not even know who he is. Maybe he's probably still around, I don't know. But anyways, TJ, he used to be an active poster, I believe, on the Marilyn Manson forums. Like,
really?
Like, back in, like, probably like 15 years ago. And he had some pretty pedophilic posts, as far as I remember. I think that's where his posts were that were a little sketchy. So, yeah, he's not really a good guy. This is a scumbag.
Yeah.
Let me see. Amazing Atheist, Marilyn Manson. Let's see if I'm right, if he posted on the Manson forum. It's very professional to get the do the research live on air.
Well, that's what happens when you're a tangent-based content producer.
Yeah. We didn't have much to talk about, so we're trying to... Really...
Tangents are our praxis.
Yeah.
We live by the tangent, and we die by the tangent.
First of all, who names someone... who names their kid Taroja? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what the fuck that means either.
It sounds like some stupid, like, band.
Maybe it's like Taroja.
Taroja. Okay. Yeah, in a 2006 posting on a Marilyn Manson fan site, a self-identified atheist libertarian calling himself Taroja argued that having pedophilic attractions doesn't mean you automatically go out and start molesting kids. From the time I was 14 to the time I was 19, I used to have extreme pedophilic fantasies, and I somehow managed to never even come close to acting on them. I think with my brain, not my penis. I do think, however, the pedophilia is unfairly persecuted in today's society. So, it's like, oh, I didn't act on it, guy, but I should be able to.
Yeah, nah. You have to go back and listen to, like, the video where he describes his, like, you know, sexual abuse.
It's sad.
He sort of takes, like, the, no, it wasn't, like, a big deal. It didn't really bother me.
Oh, yeah, it does. That's why you want to touch
just
kids, boy.
It just was what it was, you know? It was just a thing, and it doesn't even really matter. And it's like, bro, no. No, 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 no.
Yeah, is he still a progressive?
I mean, he sort of joined up with that...
I know he switched, right?
MRA shit.
Yeah, but he was like this weird... Okay, he started off as a libertarian atheist, and then he turned into like an atheist progressive slash but still men's rights activist. It's like his weird own idiosyncratic thing. You know, he was basically a liberal, but he didn't like women.
Yeah, well, he did get divorced.
Oh, poor guy. Poor man. Think of the children. Think of the poor children.
In September 2018, TJ posts on Twitter, I miss Ron Paul conservatives. At least they had a set of principles. Where do they go?
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I definitely don't agree with Ron Paul on economics or whatever, but I was just thinking that Ron Paul would have been better as a president than Trump. But
are you kidding me? I would have loved to have been voting for the Ron Paul re-election.
Yeah, because, like, you know for sure that Ron Paul, he's so principled, like, in a weird, like, even if it's principles we disagree with, there are a lot we can agree on. And if he's going to be principled about, you know, he's the kind of guy I would imagine, maybe I'm wrong, but I would imagine him risking losing the presidency if it means, like, it stops some heinous war. But I don't imagine Trump willing to do that.
Or yeah, no.
I don't imagine Ron Paul making all these concessions to Israel. Like he would risk losing his presidency for it. You know, it seems like something that would happen. And that would be much more admirable than what Trump's doing. So I've always thought about that. It's like, you know what? Ron Paul, you should have done it. So I want to know your opinion. When does the Zoomer generation start?
Starts with me.
You believe so?
Yeah, I'm the first Gen Z ever on the planet.
That I must not be a part of Gen Z.
Oh,
woe is
you're
me.
A millennial.
Yeah, I don't know what I am.
Generational cosmopolitan.
Yes. Well, I feel like Gen Z kind of starts late 90s.
Yes, that's my definition.
97, I feel like, is when Gen Z starts, perhaps. And I was born before 97, so...
I go by Nielsen ratings.
Nielsen ratings. Is that that's the TV shows, right?
Yeah, they're the huge TV show ratings
from when you're a kid
company. And I believe their definition is either 95 or 96.
Oh, so I'm definitely on the cusp, because I'm not going to say exactly when I was born. You guys could probably infer, but yeah, my date, it's very vague. I feel like I'm both. I don't feel that much different than people who are like 16 years old culturally. But at the same time, I do feel a connection with someone like my brother, who's like 5 years older than me. He's definitely a millennial. So I'm in that kind of weird middle of the road. I'm a centrist with regard to the generation question.
So I remember like being not in college, and I can't remember if it was middle school or high school, but it was around that time, and like hearing things on the radio and the news about
millennials
in the workplace.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that means I really can't be in that generation, because if they're in the workplace and like people are talking about them in the workplace and I'm like not even in college yet.
You're still in the playpen at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. I'm still like in the Chick-fil-A ball pit.
Yeah.
You know.
Open up this ball pit. Okay, so
Then I really can't be in that generation. That means they're a generation older than me.
I feel like for me, I have that connection because my brother is a lot older than me, and I was kind of able to live like two teenage years in a way. Like I experienced early 2000s teenage culture and also early 2010 teenage culture. So I have a bit of influence from the millennials for sure. Like, cause you know, my brother listened to like Bright Eyes and then eventually went to, you know, post-hardcore, stuff like that, Under Oath, and that's the stuff I listened to when I was very young. That's very millennial teenager music. But I also listened to my millennial teenager music. Well, kind of. I was very on the deep end with that one. I was listening to like, Merz Bal and stuff, so. But you know.
I wasn't really consciously aware of the first election of George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any memory of that. I don't remember 9/11.
I do remember 9/11.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, it was traumatic for me.
I just remember. No, I don't remember anything. I remember going into it was either Iraq or Afghanistan, and I was scared because I heard war. So I'm like, oh crap! All of a sudden, there are going to be like Afghanis coming to America on planes, dropping bombs or something. I don't know. It's going to be like war.
Yeah,
that's what I thought because I was so young.
Well, I never thought war would be, like, fought here on the home front.
I did.
But I did get to an age where I'm like, well, shit, if this goes on for a good while longer, I could be old enough to be drafted into it.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Staring down the barrel of some dank, endless war with Syria over the Golan Heights.
Yeah, over some...
Over some Jew oil.
Golan Heights even sounds like a Jewish neighborhood they would have somewhere.
Golan Heights, New York.
Yeah, I live in Golan Heights.
I got an apartment over in the Golan Heights.
No, this is not an apartment area. This is where you go when you leave Brooklyn.
A condominium.
Maybe a condominium or a McMansion in Golan Heights. Yeah, my kids went to college. I thought we could relax here in Golan Heights.
Like, it's a lot quieter here. There's less traffic.
A lot less schwarzes.
So, you're right. It does sound like a neighborhood.
Or
upscale neighborhood.
Yeah, it's... But I like to consider myself either a late millennial, early Zoomer, or both. So that's... Yeah. I feel like Nikkei is more of a Zoomer than me.
It's possible. I mean... I don't know how
he's a little bit younger than
how to compare per se in like real terms.
Though one thing that's very Zoomer about me is that I was raised exclusively on the internet, which I think some millennials, they can remember a time where there wasn't an internet like my brother. I only remember the internet ever existing. Yeah, I didn't have access to an iPad.
No, I
didn't watch totally, poopy Elsa videos, but still. I was on the internet starting from a very young age.
Right, now the people being raised on iPad, double pregnant Elsa, yeah, YouTube that's a new generation. We don't know what to call it yet. I propose AA.
What does AA stand for?
It's just the column that comes after Z in Excel.
Oh yeah, didn't you already mention that once?
Yeah, I think I explained that before. That, you know, goes to Z, then to AA, AB.
I'll just say null, et cetera. Generation null. But this is even worse than Gen X. You know, oh, your little punk rock was nothing. These people were raised on Elsa poop. the Gen null GG Allen, because GG Allen was kind of a Gen Xer in a way. He was born in the '50s, but. You know, he was in that era, so I can't even imagine what the next Gigi Allen's going to be like.
It's going to be Joji.
Joji Allen.
Joji Allen.
It's going to be a Hoppa. It's got to be.
It's got to. And he's just going to, like, you know, get bored of doing the pseudo sad boy routine. And then he's going to revert to Filthy Frank, and it's going to be Joji Allen.
Yeah. There's something very interesting that happened in Brooklyn. Besides, obviously, I mean, there's always some like underground noise performance going on there. But besides that, there was something very important. So I've never seen anything like this. So apparently there was a funeral for a rabbi in Borough Park. Sounds like a very New York City thing. In Borough Park.
Don't tell me another happening happened. How'd this guy go?
I don't know. I didn't research that. What I'm interested in is the fact there are literally thousands of Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, I assume Haredi or whatever, Jews. And it looks like they have an aerial view of it. They have an aerial picture. It looks like an ant hill or something. Like, there looks like thousands of ants. I've never seen anything like this.
I don't believe it. There couldn't have been that many Jews in New York City.
Oh,
no. The numbers just don't add up.
You know, New York City is just a Jew ant hill, by the way. So, but something that happened at this funeral for the rabbi: one cop struck by vehicle, another hit by drone during rabbi's funeral in Borough Park.
So I didn't know the IDF was going to be attending this.
They're like doing some Iraq war.
Was it
stuff
a Palestinian cop? Like, Jesus Christ, they hit him with a fucking drone.
Don't say the name of the Nazarene.
J-Sus. They hit him with a fucking drone.
No, that's for good.
Good.
Yeah. We only do that for people we revere. So good Satan, we just put Satan. Because we revere Satan. Oh, okay. So this is in the New York Daily News. Two NYPD cops needed hazard pay Tuesday after watching a funeral procession for a Brooklyn rabbi. One officer was struck in the head by a plummeting drone.
Oh my God.
And the other's leg was run over by the hearse carrying the spiritual leader's body.
What?
How does this happen?
I don't know.
Jewish Americans.
That's bizarre, man.
This was, the officers were on the procession route on 14th Avenue and 58th Street, not 88th Street. That would have been great. In Borough Park, when a drone flying above the crowd suddenly ran out of gas.
Oh, God! Not the gas!
Is this an Assad drone?
He's about to make New York City look like Damascus.
Yeah, meaning there's no gas.
Yeah, meaning that everyone's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That really the crime and any sort of violence that occurs is, you know, between criminal elements that, you know, the state is trying to subdue.
The drone operator told police he was trying to land the drone on a rooftop, but wasn't proficient at flying it. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
Nigga said, I'm landing it on the Dylan rooftop.
Oh, gosh. So his name is Rosenfeld Yehiel.
Oh, God.
38 of Munsey, New York. Just take out the S and it's literally Money, New York.
Money.
Sources with knowledge of the incident said the cop was walking alongside the hearse when he slipped and fell. I wonder how.
Oh, he just slipped and fell.
And the horse ran over his leg, the sources say.
They pulled a a Chinese accent on them.
There's another picture, and I'm not lying. There's probably 5,000 Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Jews here.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. It literally looks like ants. I can't believe it. So this rabbi, his name was Rabbi Yisrael Avram Portugal.
What? Rabbi Portugal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Portugal the man? Or Portugal the rabbi? Wow.
I keep all the foreskins to myself. Ooh, the drone's falling at the sky now.
He's a rebel since 1936.
Yeah, well, it says he's a Holocaust survivor.
Oh, go, God.
He came to the U.S. in 1960, so...
Jeez, it's almost like he had to stick around for a while, you know, in a country that tried to gas him.
After that whole Holocaust thing.
Yeah, that's, you know, crazy stuff.
For me, I've never been to New York City. It seems like this... It almost seems like it can't be real, but I guess it is real. Israel. Have you been in New York City? I've never.
Yeah, I have.
It's
several times. I think the last time I was there, I went to go see a play on Broadway. Well, off Broadway.
The infamous Spider-Man the Musical.
Well, for me, I just, ever since I was a young kid, I've had a bad association with New York. I never wanted to go there. There was a time for a brief moment for a few years where I did want to go to New York because of the art, but that was when I was far more degenerate. So, but New York City just seems like a dystopia. I don't even know. Like, everything I've seen, like, you have to use a subway to go everywhere.
I never have been on the subway there.
And you just have, like, homeless people everywhere. And it's just,
I don't know. I just walk. Or take a bus, like not a public bus, but if I'm like on a trip, take, you know, a tour bus.
For those who live in New York City, man, you're a trooper. You guys are troopers because I could never do that. It's just any big city sucks, but especially if it's the biggest city in the U.S. Like,
I'll tell you this: if you're driving up from the Jersey Turnpike to go to
Turnpike
City, yeah, the Jersey Turnpike. The Jersey Turncoat.
Hey, after you cross this border, you turn into a kike. Alright.
Yeah, like the closer you get to New York City, the more pungent the ambient smell of piss becomes.
Oh gosh.
You approach New York and the piss in the air just becomes a greater concentration.
It's not even piss earth, it's piss concrete.
It's piss atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because there's like a whole lot of things going on. There's homeless people pissing. There's horses pissing.
Horses?
I mean, yeah, they ride horses around New York. You know, the cops do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have like these like LARP carriages you can take. It just, you can smell the air become less clean as you approach New York City. I usually drive north to get to New York. I never taken any other way to get there. And so, you know, if you visit a few rest stops along the New Jersey Turnpike and you step outside, you'll smell the air and it'll progressively become worse.
It's actually not the smell of homeless piss. It's the smell of like the thousands of millions of yarmulke odor.
Ugh.
I assume that yarmulkes probably have a horrendous odor. I feel like an ultra-Orthodox dude's not going to be washing that. I feel like they shun water in those communities.
I can't attest to it, but I'm not going to, you know, try to prove it wrong or anything.
I wonder how this guy got his name, Portugal. Is he Converso or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a few ideas. His, you know, family went there however many generations ago and took the name.
Oh, I miss Portuguese. It's you. In fact, I'm more Portuguese because it's my last name. My favorite Jewish surname is Reich.
Israel Reich.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh.
Zion Reich.
There's got to be somebody named that.
There's some Negro in the college basketball scene. Zion Williams. And I guess he's supposed to be the next big recruit for the NBA. But apparently he and his team just lost out of the NCAA tournament unexpectedly to the Southern Boys of Auburn, I believe. Maybe I could be getting that wrong.
Well, speaking of Zion, something he sent me was the Trans Homeland. Wonderful new treatise by Wendy Fowlmaid. She's definitely a Fowlmaid if you're trans. But the world resounds with cries against our people. But these cries have awakened a slumbering idea. This idea is the idea of Zionism, but for trans people. It's almost always met with agreeing nods. Statements of this, but unironically. And pensive but pleased expressions. The question we must answer is, should we?
I think no. That's a pretty safe answer, no.
I don't like how they stole the pine tree. What do pine trees have to do with fags?
I don't know.
Isn't that like supposed to be some Ted thing?
Instead of like Lebanon, it's Lesbanon.
You're Lesbanese. It has like a Strasserist thing. Or is that just a commie thing? Like a cog?
That's TWP, my nigga.
Oh, gosh. I just realized that.
Nah, they got it from the Workers' Labor Union division of the NSDAP.
Really?
Yes.
This is like
I would say aesthetically pleasing, what you call it, maybe a faction or a coalition of the NSDAP that was like focused on organized labor.
Yeah.
And their flag had the swastika surrounded by the cog wheel.
But I've seen things of like trans Strasserists and stuff like that on Twitter.
Yeah, this is unacceptable.
This is where, instead of like, I feel like there's this problem where people, they like to wear fat, like political ideology, like it's a like clothes, something they can just switch off randomly.
I think I've talked about this, the sexual fetish ideologies out there.
Sexual fetish ideologies.
Yeah, it's basically this, you know, where they, as part of sexual fetishism,
they
put on the trappings
of a political system, because for some people they do have an erotic association with certain governments or, you know, historical governments, and
right. So like,
it's sort of like this BDSM,
you know,
thing,
Stalag.
Or yeah, like in Israel, the Jews with the Stalag porn or whatever they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if you're telling me I can't like go to the red light district of Tel Aviv and I can't find like a NSDAP bondage club,
yeah,
you gotta be kidding me. I bet my bottom dollar I could find that establishment.
Better not bet your bottom on that.
Oof. No, bottom dollar. Don't get it twisted, son.
Post irony gone insane.
No, this is not post ironic. This is just
gay.
You know, it's just novelty seeking. They want to chase after sexual novelty, and this is the extremes that they arrive at.
I do remember when I was leftist, or there was like a forum or something, and this was a long time ago. It's reaching on like 7 years ago, maybe even more. Some fella on there was a queer. And he was talking about queer nationalism. And I was like, what? I thought nationalism was bad. I guess it's okay if you're a fag. I don't know. It was just weird. Like, it's just...
You know, mate.
And I know it never makes sense to me, like, how, just another aside, faggots attach themselves to workers' causes, quote-unquote workers' causes. You know, like labor.
This is a bourgeois psyop, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Transgenderism, homosexuality, it's just the result of the decadence arising from coming from a wealthy class.
Did not Marx himself call homosexuality bourgeois morality?
Perhaps. If there's one thing that doesn't appeal to your average proletariat, it doesn't even matter the race. Let's take race out of the question, too. A transgender person talking about, you know, how they're part of the same struggle. Fags and working class people.
Shut up.
you're going to get people, doesn't matter if they're white, black, Mexican, or whatever. They're going to be like, what the hell? Get away. That's gross.
And they're right to say so.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, they ain't wrong for thinking that way. And as a matter of fact, racially speaking, their instincts are more healthily responsive to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have the brain-damaged liberal.
Oh.
Well, you know, liberal as in white people.
Yeah, yeah.
Who will see this shit and they'll be like all for it instinctively. Because their instincts are programmed to look upon these things favorably at their own peril to do otherwise. So because of the negative reinforcement and the social benefit of signaling, you get this shit as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to connect the dots there. The fact that you have transgender freaks out there thinking they can form some sort of national identity, it's ridiculous. I mean, as if we had to wait till this point.
Well, they already did that in ancient Greece. Fags did form a national identity.
No, they didn't. Literally, in no sense of any of those two concepts, fags or national identity, was that really the case?
I know, I just wanted to play a joke.
Your joke fell flat on this olive nigga.
Yeah. Go back to Olive Garden, you Greek.
I was born in the Olive Garden.
Yeah. That's going to be like our slur. Like when they say go back to Africa, when we finally kick the Greeks out, we're going to be like, go back to Olive Garden. Never been to Olive Garden.
I've never been there.
You haven't? People are surprised when I tell them I've never been to Olive Garden. And if you're a European, you're like, what in the world is Olive Garden? It's this chain restaurant in the United States, chain Italian in quotes restaurant. They give you like unlimited breadsticks and just this gross American version of Italian food with, I assume, like with a lot of sauce, you know, too much sauce. You know, it's a very American thing to do to Italian food. It's just to drench it in sauce when it's supposed to be more of like a...
My pasta might be light, but you know I'm stepping out drenched in sauce. Would you say your fashion got the sauce?
I don't know what that means. That's why I couldn't answer.
Mm,
what's the sauce?
Sauce is just like, you know, looking good when you're looking high class.
Yeah, I'm always looking high class.
If you stepping out in some fancy shit, you got the sauce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, where do we want to go from here?
So something happened at Jigaboo High School.
Oof.
Well, actually, nothing really happened, but I guess they brought that back. Joe Bernstein. Is that his name? Joel?
Joe. Beautiful Joe.
Joe Bernstein.
Who will never work for the New York Times.
For some reason thought it, you know... wise.
Timely.
Yeah, timely to bring back
relevant
a seven month old story of the Baraboo High School incident where
you remember, you know, tomorrow belongs to us as they waved goodbye to their parents and posed for their
high school graduation photo or something like that. I forgot. It was a long time ago. But it's not like a thing like, a year anniversary. This is like, why are you bringing this up again? This is the most irrelevant thing. You're just bringing up a story. It's
where it looked like these kids saw Kyle and waved hello to him.
Like, this article should have been written a long time ago. Why are you doing this?
This article never should have been written. Don't give him that.
Oh, yeah.
This article is garbage. And we can go into detail of that later. But the fact that it comes up now is just like, you know, beautiful Joe trying to reopen some closed wounds and make this relevant again because, as he points out, people like even the local high school area got it wrong. And, you know, the news covered this whole story wrong and one of the relevant details was that they were wrong in saying it was the class of 2018, but apparently they were going to junior prom.
Oh.
They were making them the class of 2019, and wouldn't you know, that means they're going to be graduating in a couple months.
Oh, you shouldn't allow them to do that.
So, you know, remember how before when this first came out, people were saying call their colleges, let the college admissions know that the high school's responsible for letting the colleges know that this applicant was one of the kids in the photo.
Oh.
And basically just trying to fuck them out of college entry. And, Beautiful Joe happens to take it upon himself to be like, wait a second, these are juniors in this picture here.
So we still have time. We could ruin their life.
You know, it's, if my calendar is correct, that means they're graduating this year in a few months. And, well, just so happens to be the time I wanted to bring this story back into the forefront. You think there's anything like a coincidence there, or is this something more going on? I can't distance the two, personally. I think Joe is taking it upon himself to reopen this wound just in time for college acceptance letters and to start coming back from an early application. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
There's literally no other reason for this. Nobody was talking
just
about
this. This guy's like, what, 30-something? And he's just so angry about this. He's like, oh, I want these kids to get punished so bad. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that they can't go to college. And they have to work at Target for the rest of their lives because they can't get a computer science degree like they were.
Yeah, I guess Covington Catholic, as he notes himself, Covington Catholic sort of rushed in and drew all the attention away from Baraboo to this other center of white high school students.
Yeah, like the most problematic thing, like a guy actually existing.
White boys in high school.
Literally standing. How problematic.
Right. I just can't wrap my mind around the kind of person it takes to do this, to write thousands of words to like relitigate the story, and no less focusing on a particular Jewish family in Baraboo.
The Bear Jews.
Yeah, the Bear Jew. The night of November 12th, one day after the Sieg Heil picture went up on Twitter, Kelly Dwyer sat in her pajamas in her living room and studied the faces in it. Dwyer, who is Jewish, moved to Baraboo with her husband 20 years ago after graduating from the Iowa Writers' Workshop. Drawn by the abundant natural beauty of the area, which served as the inspiration for the ecologist Aldo Leopold's seminal A Sand County Almanac, Dwyer, a novelist, now taught creative writing and composition at a small branch of the University of Wisconsin, perched on a hill overlooking the city. When she first saw the photograph in her campus email, Dwyer didn't think
campus
it was real.
Email.
Baraboo wasn't exactly a diverse place. 93% white and overwhelmingly Christian.
Wow, that sounds really good.
But Dwyer had never experienced any anti-Semitism in town, apart from when an acquaintance used the phrase, quote, Jew them down, shortly after she moved there.
Oh, just that small instance.
So you know, like,
traumatized
how
her. She wrote that down and she saved it in her little.
Joe Bernstein asks, "So have you ever experienced anti-Semitism before?" And she goes, "Well, no, but I do remember this one time when I first moved here. It's an acquaintance I had. He talked about, you know, something Jewing me down. I can't remember all the details, but that stuck out in my memory."
It could have been on a TV show I was watching. I don't know, but
it literally had to go down. Otherwise, he would have put more detail that she provided
But she couldn't have provided more detail, and instead she just said, "Oh, I remember when I first moved here, somebody said, 'Drew me down,' and I don't know what it was about, but that's all I can recall." And that's all that he, in turn, could write about it. Which is why that's how he words it. But, he continues, "Still, Baraboo friends insisted the photo was authentic, and emails started pouring in from friends around the country as Suzdaltsev's tweet went viral. 'Is this your town? Are there really Nazis there?' And so on. Members of the city's tiny, close-knit Jewish community called each other alarmed. One woman, Marcy Huffaker, wondered if it had been a mistake to live there, as she also had for 20 years, raising 3 children.
Yeah, one thing that's common, at least between all the Jews that I've mentioned so far, is that they're not like natives.
Outsiders.
Yeah, they're literally like outsiders from...
Rootless, you might say.
It's not like, "Oh, I've been here, my family's been here for 100 years or something."
For
it's...
generations. Yeah. No, I've been here for 20 years, you know.
After I graduated from NYU, you know, or something like that.
NYU to Baraboo.
The NYU to Baraboo pipeline.
Her husband, Buddy, worried there might be a real group of teenage neo-Nazis living in town.
Wait, what's her last name again?
Huffaker.
Oh.
Buddy Huffaker.
No, I thought it was Dwyer, like Bud Dwyer.
No, that's the other family. Dwyer is Kelly's last name.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No.
I thought we noticed something. We figured out something very interesting.
There's no meme streams being crossed there.
Yeah.
But he was worried about real group of teenage neo-Nazis living in town. Oh my God, there's a gang.
It's a gang of teenage Nazis.
Days earlier, some residents of nearby Reedsburg had found a white nationalist pamphlets in their mailboxes.
Uh-oh.
Could this be part of a concerted campaign? Another friend, Mara Seals, the town veterinarian, found the photograph so upsetting she could hardly look at it.
Oh, wow.
She knew many of the boys in the photograph. She had cared for their pets. Dwyer knew some of the boys in the photograph, too. Her daughter, Alice, had spent her first 2 years of high school at Baraboo before transferring that fall to a private school in Madison. She came home that night from dance class, where she had cried with Huffaker's 15-year-old daughter, Eva, and her parents listened, shocked, described a culture of unchecked racism pervading Baraboo High School's hallways. Quote, "She told us to the extent to which she had heard the N-word at school," Dwyer said. "And when we looked at the photo, she showed us the boys who said the N-word. They were people who said it all the time. Like these boys would say it in the halls, in the classrooms even." As she sat with her family in the living room, Dwyer got a text from Philip Zolper. The Dwyers had been friends with the Zolpers for years. Kelly Dwyer had known Philip since he was a toddler. She always knew him as an earnest, conscientious kid. Could he come over, Zolper asked, and, quote, offer an accounting, unquote, of himself? Dwyer told him he could. And so he basically just explains that, it's a joke, and it's no big deal. And he's like, you know, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Jews. It says that they did, and that they all embraced in a group hug. Well, how nice. But, I mean, this is just bullshit. It's neurotic bullshit.
These people, some minor thing happened. Because just think about all the anti-white things that go on in schools, you know, where it's a mostly colored population. It's all the horrendous,
like the curriculum, or the
curriculum,
much
but
less
just
student behavior.
But something so small as this, a literal joke, and they're still kvetching about it. And this is like a novel. I'm not reading this whole article ever. It's a waste of my time. I have other books I need to read. I'm still reading the Sea of Fertility series, so I don't quite have time for this. You know, I'd much rather read the words of some fashy homo stomach stabber than this.
Stomach stabbing slant?
Yeah. Slant rhyme?
Yes. Slant rhyme poetry.
Yeah. I like Yukio Mishima's slant rhyme poetry. Oh, the thing about Zolper, that seems like a Jewish name. Sorry. I don't want to throw this kid on the bus.
I don't think he's, he doesn't claim to be Jewish. Hmm. He's the first person that's profiled in the article.
Oh, I like this. They have a sign, a billboard by the Baraboo Alumni Association. I assume it's in front of the high school or somewhere in the city. It's a sign that says, it's not how we make mistakes, but how we correct them that defines us. Rachel Vulcan. Hashtag, this is Baraboo proud. It's like, oh, some kids did a joke. We have to put up a billboard in the city to apologize.
Mm. Yes, everyone must know. We are very sorry.
We are very sorry. Please don't kill us. Don't drop a drone on us.
Don't run us over with a hearse.
Yeah.
Niggas out here straight persecution.
Persecution.
If you moments later.
Hey, you don't want to know something I like? Polacks, right? Polacks and Polacks.
Wow, that's an interesting admission from you.
Yeah, well, apparently them Polacks are doing something great over in Poland. Harry Potter books burned by Polish priests, alarmed by magic. And this is not hashtag black girl magic. This is something else. So the Polish are beating us in being based again. And they are literally burning Harry Potter. And that's some good stuff.
Yes, I think now more than ever, the time has come to burn Harry Potter.
There is a recommended article from BBC. The Mystery Simone in My Family Tree.
That rhymes.
I don't know why this is. But
well, do go on.
So this is a part of the an evangelical group, the SMS from Heaven Foundation. Does that mean like text message from heaven?
Yeah, more like the SMH from heaven.
I know. Okay, that's bad. Wait, why does it say evangelical when they're Catholic?
I guess because they're evangelizing.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, okay, I see. Because it says the Catholic priests. But they also showed an elephant figurine and a tribal mask burning on the book pile. Fuck elephants, am I right?
No, man. Elephants are great. I think elephants are a beautiful animal.
So I think they got their name because the group sends Christian messages via SMS. That's a sentence in the.
Yeah. Well, look, Jesus didn't do that, so probably not the best way, huh? He saw fit to do it in person. They'll probably send you like the actual citations from the original Schofield translation.
It actually wasn't a translation. It was, I think, a set of notes.
So it was only notes?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
What translation was it working off of?
King James, I believe. It's a study Bible. I don't know if you know what those are, because you probably don't have those in Orthodoxy, but...
We do, actually. There is an Orthodox study Bible.
Yeah, so they have maybe essays or a lot of times footnotes explaining passages.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the Schofield... is because I was at a bookstore
and work with a new translation.
No, because I went to a bookstore. At least that's what I think. I went to a bookstore and I saw the old Schofield Bible from like Oxford, and it said King James Version. I'm like, oh, so it must be a study Bible. That's what it is. It's a Schofield study Bible. So it's just they just have the King James text, but he has the Zionist or dispensationalist or whatever you call it theology. On the footnotes.
Hmm.
And that's where Schofield changed the Bible. He didn't really change the Bible. He just added notes.
I see. Well, in any case, the probably just send you text messages with his notes.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get Christian Zionism straight to your phone every day.
You know, what's your take on Harry Potter? If J.K. Rowling wasn't a lib.
What's a Schofield Harry Potter?
The Schofield version.
The Schofield study Harry Potter.
That's the reason why society's so messed up.
Let's write it. Let's write the Schofield Potter guide.
That would be very good.
I'd only do that if I got paid, because that would take a long ass time.
Oh yeah.
Should we make like a GoFundMe
for the Harry Potter Schofield study book?
Well, we wouldn't have to call it Schofield in the actual GoFundMe, mm-hmm. but basically we'll just copy the same format as the Schofield Bible.
Oh, so just say
we're doing like a study version of Harry Potter.
Well, it's like you have those like Norton Critical Editions.
Yes, yes.
Or something like that, you know.
You know, heavily footnoted.
Yeah. It's like the Mein Kampf that they have in Germany. Like, the only Mein Kampf you could buy legally is heavily footnoted. Like, there's multiple, it's like multiple volumes of just, you know, and most of it, I think, is footnotes explaining why it's bad, I guess, or essays and stuff on why National Socialism bad. All those things. Mm.
I think the way we would go about it is just slip in like subtleties in the footnotes that, you know, isn't why Harry Potter is just bad. You know, just calling every footnote is this is gay, this sucks. Well, read a different book. No, it would actually have to be more subtle.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious is if I've thought about doing a few like audiobooks, not of whole books. I would never have the patience for that. But maybe not sections, but like there are a few essays that I really like in books, or maybe a short story. I'm thinking about maybe doing that one day. Some things that would be good for our fans, not even just our fans, but anyone involved in this. Have you ever thought about doing that kind of stuff?
Maybe to some extent.
I mean, I don't like audiobooks myself, but I understand that some people do.
I mean, we were the ones who pioneered fourth political theory, ASMR.
Yeah, that is true.
So, I mean, you can't really say we haven't done anything like that before, because we have, for sure.
You know what we got to do? A whole ASMR reading of the Talmud.
in the original Hebrew.
Turns the page. Wait, let me see if I get a paper. Don't they like seeing the Talmud, or is that just like that little scroll they have? Oh, Hashi, oh,
hello. Bro, I don't know what they do.
I just know they Jew.
Yeah. Jewing is what they doing, son, and I want to be involved.
Yeah. Well, I got to study my Torah. I don't know about you.
I got to study the back of my eyelids, son.
Oh, okay. So, hey, I want to say Ashachalam B'Shem, and thank you for listening. Hashem be upon you.
I got to say, go fucking lift.
I got to go say, speak Hebrew. Do it.
I got to say,
don't be a coward.
Nah, don't do it.
Yeah, well, anyways, Hashem Barach, Harum, see you later. We'll be right back.